Good morning, everyone. Yes, my name is Julie, and I'm on the leadership team here at CityWell, and I'm so excited to be with you this morning on this day of Pentecost, the day that we celebrate the coming of the Spirit unto the church. This morning, I'm going to ask you to participate with me a little bit, and it can be a little bit nerve-wracking to speak in front of people. I know I get nervous, and so I want us to just stand up real quick together, and I'm going to demonstrate first, then I'm going to have everybody do it. But first, we're just going to, like, shake our body out and make a silly noise. That way, we're, like, all going to make a fool of ourselves, and so, like, no one can, like, make fun of you, or you don't have to. You already made a fool of yourself, so, like, just go for it, right? So ready? One, two, three. Yes. Okay, you can sit down now. I feel so much better. Now, I'm not the only one who can do that. All right, so we just read the text in Acts, and I also want to read a passage from Genesis. So this is coming from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. This is the story of God's first pursuit of us. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and make a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the humans had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so that they will not understand, they will not listen to one another." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this community this morning. Would you gather together with us? Would you offer yourself in such a way that we would be able to listen and receive your life-giving word? And in return, offer ourselves back to you and to one another. Amen. What are we building here at CityWell? When we invite people to CityWell, what are we inviting them into? This morning we have two texts, and they talk about gathering and scattering and languages and speaking and listening. Today I want us to think about what is being built and why it's being built. I want us to liven up our imaginations, because I think when we have a lack of imagination, it keeps us trapped in our own towers. It's lack of imagination that keeps us from becoming the community that God calls us to be. So let's turn to that Genesis passage. Here we have a people, the whole earth in fact, and they have one language and the same words. One language and the same words. They were on a journey, but they stopped, and they decided to settle there. They decided to build something. So first, let's talk about what the people were building. And like I said, I want us to do this together. I believe that God's word is living and alive, and that we're supposed to read it in community. So I want us to do a little bit of talking and brainstorming together. So what did the people build? Bricks, a tower, and a city. Great. Right. So they have a city, and the main feature of this city is this tower. But it's not just any tower, right? It's a tower with its top in the heavens. Like, this is no small undertaking. So let's keep talking about this tower. What is a tower? What does a tower do? What's the purpose of a tower, kind of in general?
You can see.
So you can see things? To hold the damsel in distress? Mm-hmm. Anything else?
To be seen.
To be seen. Mm-hmm. And generally, there was this watching, right, that was mentioned, that Vanessa mentioned. And it's normally you're watching for something that you don't want to come, right? Like, there's kind of this, like, fear of, like, we got to make sure that we know when something's coming. And it communicates power. But what kind of power and whose power is it communicating? And it's kind of a barrier, right? Like, it keeps people. You can keep people in, and it can keep people out. So a tower is also a place that you don't live, right? Like, it's not a home. It's not someplace that's comfy. It's also self-supporting. It doesn't need to be attached to anything else. It stands all alone by itself. So it's interesting when we think about the people choosing to build a city, that this is the kind of structure that they choose to build. I mean, a city is supposed to be a place where people thrive, a hub of culture and imagination, and a tower doesn't quite seem to be the structure that facilitates welcome and community. Am I right? So now I want us to ask why. So looking at the text again, why are the people building the city and the tower? To make a name for themselves. And there's one other thing. Protect themselves from what? There's a specific thing they don't want to happen. Yeah, they don't want to be scattered. So we don't know exactly why they don't want to be scattered, but it seems like there's some fear at work here. They understand the scattering to be something negative, and they feel like they need to do something to prevent it. So they decide to make a name for themselves. What's ironic about this story is that it's the building of the tower that actually causes this spreading out. So turning back to the text, we see that God comes down to check out and see the tower and the city that the people have built. And I sort of get this imagine God coming down like giddy with excitement, because you see, God has created the world, named it good, and gave it a purpose. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Replenish the earth. I like that version that says replenish, because when you are replenishing something, you're nourishing it. You're inspiring it. You create space for the world to become what it's meant to be. So God created this world and humanity to offer itself so that it would bring life, freedom, wholeness, and abundance. So God comes to see. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see what they have created. But instead, God comes, and God finds a tower that does not nourish, it does not welcome, it does not align with God's hope for the world. And God says, look, they are one people and one language, and this they begin to do. But what if we read that last part was as a question rather than as a period or a sentence? The people, they are one people and have one language. And this they begin to do? This is what they choose to do? These people have an abundance of resources right at their fingertips, all these gifts. And this, a tower, is what they build? Were their imaginations so dry, so tired, so uninspired that all they could think about was a tower? You see, the people united together with one language and the same words, it sounds like a good thing. But this type of unity lacks diversity. It lacks creativity that allows flourishing. Instead, it settles for less. It is unable to see beyond the walls of itself. It is unable to be who God created it to be. So God says, with this type of unity, nothing that they fence in, nothing that they wall up will yield fruit. And if this is all that they can imagine, then this is all that's going to happen. These people need to liven up their imaginations. So God said, let's go down there. Let's mingle things. Let's stir it up. The word here that talks about how they do not understand each other is the Hebrew word for listen, Shema, hear, O Israel. The people need a new way of listening. They need a new way of being with each other because they've forgotten who they are. They've forgotten who God is. So the people at Babel are building their tower. They were trying to avoid being scattered because they understood it to be something negative. And I think it's easy for us to read this text and think of the scattering and the mixing of languages as negative as well. But how quickly we forget what God's purpose for creation is. This is only chapter 11 of Genesis. There's like a lot of story left before we get to the end of Revelation, before we get to today. And so it's only chapter 11. We've already forgotten that God created the world, named it good, and gave it a purpose. And that purpose is be fruitful and multiply, fill, replenish the earth. So in this way, the resistance to the scattering is a resistance to the very purpose of God's creation. The people are resisting the very purpose of their lives. And God says, I don't think so. God interrupts our plans that are not life-giving. God interrupts the building of community that is not world-replenishing. God says, these folks need a new imagination. Because their language, their way of naming the world, of living in the world together, has become too small. I'm going to do something that helps their imaginations grow. You see, it takes more than words to listen to someone. It takes more than being in the same room on a Sunday morning to be in relationship with one another. And so when God mixes up their languages, God invites them into a new way of listening. When you don't speak the same language as someone else, you need to get creative with how you communicate. You have to figure out a new way. So, friends, let's talk again. What do you do when you want to communicate with someone without words? Gesture, use your body. Do things with them, like what do you mean, interact?
Yeah, interact.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, like you said, it's part of what you're doing with each other. But to me, it's actually how we do it in chronological order. To answer that, you gotta go. Well, hundreds of years ago, right down to Jesus Christ's time, and about, say, like, I cannot wait for the kingdom of God to come, but Jesus says, don't be surprised of that. Wait until it comes.
That's right. We need to know the story. We need to know each other's story. We need to figure out how to communicate. What else can we do if we don't have words?
Eat.
Eat together?
Touch.
Touch.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
That's right.
Dance.
Dance.
Yeah.
Create art.
Answers.
Draw.
Eye contact.
Learn each other's words. Teach each other. Yes.
Laugh.
Live.
Yes.
Live. Amen. See, when you don't have words, you have to pay attention. When you don't have words, you have to use your whole body. See, Novella's 2.5. She doesn't quite have the words to be able to express herself, but when she is mad, you are going to know it. And this morning, I opened the door to her, she was already awake, and I opened the door to her room, and she ran up to me and gave me a big hug. She didn't say anything, but what she communicated was more than any words could have said. You're forced to get creative when you can't use the words that you are familiar with. And so this scattering, this mingling of languages, and doesn't have to be seen as a punishment, but as a stretching of their imagination, an opportunity for the people to live into who God created them to be. It's one way in which God was at work, accomplishing God's purpose for creation. Because God doesn't build walls. God builds community. God builds community because that's who God is. God is community. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, the Trinity, living together in community. And the mystery of the Trinity is that God is three distinct, different persons, yet mingled together as one God, bound together in love. And this mysterious community of love, this is the community that we are invited into. God welcomes us into God's own community. God welcomes us into the very life and heart of God. And God welcomes us because God loves. God builds out of who God is, and God is love. God does not build or create out of fear. God does not build a tower keeping humanity or the created world out. No. God creates a world in which God says, I offer myself to you. I am with you. You see, we don't have to build a tower to reach God. As if God were found up high, as if God were not found down here with us. We don't need to increase our stature, our status, our income, our appearance. We don't need to elevate our accomplishments, our knowledge, our numbers, as if God were not found already here with us where we are. God comes to us. God comes down. God welcomes us. And God pours out God's Spirit upon us. And when the Spirit of God is upon us, God transforms our imaginations. We see in Acts chapter 2 the pouring out of God's Spirit on the disciples. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 5 say, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in their native language. Now, I've often heard this passage as being the reversal of the curse of Babel. But I think this understanding lacks imagination. When we understand our difference to be a curse rather than as a gift, as an opportunity to know more of the heart of God, we start to move toward a unity that sucks the very life from us. I think Acts is a continuation of the story. A continuation of the work that God began in Genesis. It's another step towards the fulfillment of God's purposes for God's creation. In Acts, the speaking of other languages is from the Spirit. In Genesis, the mingling and mixing up of languages. The speaking of different languages is also from God. In Acts, however, we see a transformation. The people hear each other. With the Spirit, the people have a new way of being with each other. They are able to speak and to listen in creative, life-giving ways. God has spoken a new word. Jesus is the word that frees us to live another way. This morning we celebrate the baptism of Tequila and Matt. And it's through baptism that we believe we are welcomed into the church, into the body of Christ. Through baptism, God creates the possibility for a new community to be created. With Jesus, we no longer have to build our towers to protect ourselves. We no longer have to be a church with a certain amount of attendees. We no longer have to build out of fear. We are free to build our lives and our church and our community out of love. Because when you build something out of fear, your capacity for love dwindles. Your imagination grows dim. When you build out of fear, you're focused on self-preservation rather than self-offering. And when you build out of fear, you build against something rather than for or with. So here, O Citywell, the people at Babel, their story isn't so different from our own. It can be easy to read this text and say, well, they totally missed the mark. They were clearly going against God's will. I mean, a tower, we would never do that. As if we don't get caught up in doing church so much that we forget to be the church, to be community. As if we don't sometimes come here and build a fancy worship service and forget that we are to be family. What if the people at Babel had a language and imaginations that weren't so tall and narrow, but were deep and wide? What if they built something that was welcoming, that was full of joy and freedom, that was beautiful, that was a refuge for all, that aligned with God's heart and hope for the world? So let's use our imaginations one more time. What could the people at Babel have built instead of a tower?
A garden.
A garden?
Neighborhood.
Disneyland. Something fun, yes. What else? What? Roads? A church?
Dinner tables.
Bridges, dinner tables, awesome. A what? A fitness center, yes, yes. Yes, homes for shelter who need it, a school, place for people to learn, a work of art, a well for water to nourish people, a playground, picnic tables. We are building picnic tables. All of these things can be aligned with the work of God. What are we building here at CityWell? It takes more than gathering together on a Sunday morning to be a community. We actually have to know one another. So how might we reimagine our lives together here as a people at CityWell? How might we receive the Holy Spirit such that we might speak and listen in life-giving ways? We have to be courageous enough to build something other than walls. Walls of excuses, walls of busyness, walls of convenience. So CityWell, I invite you to break down a wall by getting to know someone new. Sign up for the dinner for eight. Try out a well gathering. Those are our small groups that meet. Invite someone to coffee, for dinner, for a walk. Or just say hello and have a conversation with someone you don't know on a Sunday morning. Conversations build relationships, and relationships builds community. This morning, we'll also have the chance to enter into a covenant relationship with one another. It's an opportunity for us to say that this is a place that we believe God has called us to. These are the people that God has called me to build community with. The covenant is an opportunity for us to say that we are committed to living life together in new ways. One in which we seek to gather, welcome, listen, and offer in creative and imaginative ways. Because we believe that these are the ways of God. Shema CityWell. Hear, O CityWell. I believe that God's Spirit is present with us and among us. God is at work. What are we building? What will we build together with God? Let's pray. God, you who have been at work from the very beginning, speaking your creative word of life into the world, you who were with us in Genesis and who poured out your Spirit in a new way upon the church on the day of Pentecost, pour out your imaginative, generative, creative Spirit upon us here, now, today, tomorrow, that we might receive the ways of Jesus as our way of life for the sake of your glory, for the sake of this church, for the sake of the city of Durham, for the sake of the world. May we build a life together, founded on, surrounded by, and inspired by your Spirit. Liven up our imaginations, because when you send forth your Spirit, we are recreated and the face of the earth is renewed. May it be in the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, the creative community that lives forever. Amen.